Welcome to Time Out with Taylor Rooks on the SNY.TV audio network. I'm going to tell you the same thing that I tell you every single time before we get started. Make sure you subscribe to Time Out with Taylor Rooks by searching for the show on the iPhone podcast app or whatever you use to listen to podcasts. It's on SoundCloud. Also follow me on Twitter so you can always get the updates when you know a new episode is coming out. Leave a review, rate it, do whatever you would like. I do read those and I look for the ratings, so I would greatly appreciate if you leave one for me. The guest for today's show is Carrie Champion. I'm really excited to have her on the show today because very often young women will ask me about advice on getting into the journalism field and my path and all the different things I did, and I always try to help and give back to them and offer whatever I can, but I'm really young. I'm only 24. And there are so many other things that I need to learn. So Carrie is someone I go to all the time for advice, for guidance, for her thoughts, even just to talk. Because, you know, sometimes being a journalist is hard. Sometimes being a woman's hard. And there's so many advantages to being a woman, but there really are challenges and downfalls as well. And in this industry, having someone like Carrie to go to truly means everything. In this podcast, she discusses the women she looks up to, maintaining balance in her life and her career, her love for Jeannie Buss, and the importance of staying true to yourself. Carrie has such an amazing journey. She most recently moved to SportsCenter after being on First Take. So she's a true trailblazer, a true journalist, a true friend, and somebody who really means a lot to me. So I hope that you enjoy our conversation. So, I am so very excited to have you on the show, Carrie.
I'm excited too.
Very excited?
Very excited. You guys, she traveled all the way to Los Angeles to see all these great podcasts, and I'm so proud of her. And I'm speaking directly into the microphone like I am a fool. And
so, I'm being silly. Because you know this setup a little janky, so you got to start right.
You're being professional. I'm talking right into the mic.
Exactly. Now, you know, obviously, I follow every single thing you do. Yes. You know how much I love you. And I remember I read an interview with Pam Oliver, and you started it, and you were like, you know, I have to have my Pam moment. For me, I have to have my Carrie moments.
Have it.
So this is my Carrie moment. I feel like I talk about you anytime someone asks me, like, well, I love journalism and everyone I look up to. So for everyone listening to the podcast, like, Carrie truly does mean a lot to me. So it means a lot to me for her to come onto the podcast. But I want to get back to Pam Oliver for just a second.
Sure.
Because, like, since I'm always talking about you and how you've inspired me, I want to know, like, what it was like for you to see someone like Pam on TV.
You know what? It's different because in this day of social media, we can meet the people we like. It's pretty easy, especially if we're in an industry. And it's so funny when you're like, oh, I look up to you. But I'm like, you're in the same industry. We're doing the same thing. We know the same people. We interview the same people. I consider us colleagues, but I appreciate you.
But it's okay.
It's just a few letters, right? SNY, ESPN, but it's just a few letters. So we're all colleagues. Like, so I know it seems different if you haven't accomplished what you feel, and as air quotes, what you should accomplish, because I feel that way about Pam. Now, for me, the stories of Pam are legendary. I don't have the rapport with her that I have with you. It's just a different generation. They don't do things like that in terms of, not that she isn't friendly and welcoming. She is most definitely friendly and welcoming. Like, I could call her on the phone and chat with her. I don't necessarily know if I feel like I would want to bother her. She's so great. I'd be like, I don't want to bother you, Pam.
Yeah, like she has like a bubble around her.
Yeah, a bubble of perfection. And you're like, no, let me just leave you alone, Pam. You know, but... And not even so much seeing her, it's about her reputation. Her reputation precedes her. So when you are in the business this long and people talk about you like you are a living icon, that's where you want to be. You want people to, she's of that different age. She doesn't care about what she looks like in terms of, she don't want people like, oh, she hot. She wants people to be like, if I'm sitting with Roger Goodell, I'm about to give him the business. And that's what people say about Pam. And I think that she's extremely... she's a true journalist with a capital J. She said to me, she doesn't understand what we have to do in terms of our brand. She doesn't understand that.
She just did her job and did it well.
And she says she thinks it's silly and sad because then another generation will come along and everyone will get caught up in being first and not giving right information. Mm-hmm. Everything she said was absolutely accurate. But we are so busy and we're all trying to make a name for ourselves and try to be the first in Instagram and... We're just playing that game and Twitter and all that other nonsense that we can't focus solely. And I believe with her, we can't focus solely on what we should be doing.
Yeah.
There's truth to that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think that it is a little scary to think how journalism will keep evolving.
Because if it's evolved to this now, what is it going to be like in 5 to 10 years?
I don't know. I think it's cyclical. So I think it'll go back. Like, we're going to really have something happen and people's journalism skills will have to be on display. Meaning, we really will have to remember why we got in this business. If you don't have a reason or a story, or if you aren't motivated about why you want to tell stories, because that's what we are, we're the gatekeepers to telling stories, if you will. We hold people accountable who are allowed to tell stories in powerful positions. Mm-hmm. So if we are not doing that now, I feel sorry for us, because I think when I say cyclical, it'll go back to what Pam says.
Right.
It is supposed to be.
Okay, for sure. And when you talk about Pam, like for me, you know, I can see you, I can see Jamel, I see more Black women in journalism, but do you really only remember seeing Pam?
Pam, Lisa Salters.
Of course, and Lisa.
Local newswomen, because I grew up in LA, so local newswomen, Angela Black, there's a woman now who's still on the air, she's a, you know, Pat Harvey. I walked up on Pat Harvey at church and was like, I want to be you. And she's like,
really?
Come to the office, hang out. Like, real sweet.
No way.
Yeah, right? There's very few people like that. So I don't think I saw it, but I think Oprah was everybody's go-to.
But that's the one thing I think is so dope. When women in general support each other, but I feel like, especially Black women in this business, a win for one of us is a win for all of us.
Yeah,
I agree. And we all get so pumped for the other. If something happens.
I think like your generation is much more embracing and loving than generations before, because there was only one and you felt like you had to protect your territory. I don't think there's that innate competition anymore unnecessarily. I think that what I always say, because this is true when I see this growing up, we always emulate someone. Like, I was like, I want to be Oprah. Who doesn't want to be Oprah?
Right. who would want to be Gail? I'll take Gail.
Yeah, hi. But I always tell people, and reporters going to come up, always find your strength and develop who you are. It takes a while, though. Yeah. You have to be on air for a while, or you have to be writing for a while, but be your best you. Don't be anybody else. Like, you can see someone that you want to be like, or what have you, but be your best you. Have your own brand of journalism, have your own style of reporting. Some people are naturally just themselves and they incorporate that into their daily job. So I always tell people, just be you. Don't try to emulate anyone else, because you're gonna just, that's the only way you succeed.
Yeah.
That's the only way that I've been successful in whatever little bit of success that I have. I have been like, oh, I wanna be like her. I've admired Pam because she was very, like, I take a little bit of her, like, tough journalism skills. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't back down.
At all.
And she's not flirting to get a damn interview. She like, listen, this
just
is
come
what
do
I'm
this,
at.
Yes.
And Lisa Salter's the same way. Lisa is like, no, here's the deal. Give me this. Like, they're so about their business. And in the end, it's so, like, long-term. That's what people respect.
That longevity aspect.
Yeah, and the fact that they're about their business. Like, I hear people talk about them now. Like, LeBron is like, Pam's my girl. Mm-hmm. I love Lisa. Like, some of the biggest stars we know and love refer to those two as people they respect in the business. Because when all the pomp and circumstance and all that other stuff has gone away, they just want to remember the people who were true journalists. Because they can't take us seriously. Like, you know, so I try to always go back to that. And I always say, just be yourself, you know, stay true to your J skills. Mm-hmm. Don't back down and don't rely on the brand, because that'll come and go.
For sure. Right? And one thing you've always told me is finding your voice.
Yeah.
And not even just like finding it, but making sure you have the right space for it.
Right.
And I'm curious, because, you know, I think younger journalists, including myself, that's something that we struggle with. Do you feel like you have completely found your voice and the right space for it?
No.
Yeah.
No, heck no.
Is it like a never ending?
No. I just feel like, I don't feel like SportsCenter is the right venue for everything that I want to do.
Right.
But it's the right venue for right now.
For sure.
Yeah. So, like, I think I want to talk about so many more important issues. Not more important. So many other issues that you can't do on sports television 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But we have a podcast, right?
Yes.
And so, just
Be Honest, little plug. Yeah, make sure you guys subscribe to Be Honest.
Right. So your podcast, you can do what you want to do. I can do what I want to do. And I think the world that we have today, there's no excuse for not putting your voice in the right space.
Yes.
Because we can do it anywhere we want to. We can do it with the podcast. We could do it on a YouTube channel. We could do it any which way we want. There's just no way to say, oh, I have a voice, but I don't know where to place it.
Exactly.
It's impossible. So SportsCenter, Monday through Friday, I get to do probably 70% of what I want to do, but there's a 30% of me that's like, okay, let me take this to the podcast.
Right.
Let me take this to social media.
Now, speaking of finding your voice, I know, obviously, you are a big Laker fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can plug them. You can rep them a little bit.
I love them a lot. I love them a lot.
And Jeannie recently did more than find her voice. She took complete control.
Yeah. I did a podcast on this. Thank you for asking me, because she reminds me of every woman I know. So here she is. By the way, she's, like, if you met her in person, she's just stunning.
Really?
Right? You're just looking at her like, damn, like, how old are you again?
Yes.
Just stunning. So she's
been I'm going to stop Carrie real quick, by the way. Carrie is, like, the most flawless person ever.
That's not true.
So she may be talking about Jeannie, let me talk about Carrie.
I have curlers
in my
hair.
She doesn't
right
have
now
one blemish on her skin. It
her
is
curlers
just
on
this perfect chocolate skin.
Uh-huh.
Her makeup's perfect. Her dress is perfect. Everything is perfect. So, well, you can get back to Jeannie.
Oh, stop it. Continue.
I'll keep going forever.
No, but she is gorgeous, right? So,
And
so what I'm thinking is this woman who's really smart.
Yeah.
She's been around all these athletes her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And she's remained above it all,
yeah,
right? And she has been considered one of the best business people, not men, but business people
yeah
in basketball. And I'm like, how do you do it? How do you get to that level? Because we always, you know, it's not always a fair playing ground if you're a woman. And what she did in the last, like, year is crazy to me, to break up with her boyfriend because, you know, the league, quote unquote, said it would be beneficial. You can't really talk about work with him. Get out of here.
Yeah. You're
going to talk about work with your significant other.
For sure.
Then she got rid of her brother. And I don't care if they didn't like each other. That's still hard to do. That's
100%.
Still hard to cut ties.
Yeah.
Because there's the public. It's not like a private argument with your brother or with your sister. Only you and your brother would know. The whole entire world knows that she, her and her brother don't get along. And then he went behind her back and did, you know, this coup attempt, and she had to deal with it. And she's acting like it's not a big deal. This probably has to be the most stressful time of her entire life, because she knows there's a responsibility her father gave her and what he wanted her father to see. And there's so much she's dealing with. And so I always wonder, because women aren't built like men, when we act like men, how that affects us mentally. Because
yeah
in this business, we have to be tough, and they want us to remove our emotion, and they want us to act like men, if you will. And we'll be criticized for it if we do it, and we are most definitely criticized for it.
Yes,
if we
it's
don't
a lose-lose.
It.
Yeah.
Right. So I think about her and I go, how'd you do it? And how'd you decide to sacrifice your personal life for this civic treasure known as the Los Angeles Lakers?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what the city is built on. You talk about sports, it's Lakers first.
Yeah.
Then it's, I'd say Dodgers, Kings, then Clippers. Like,
mm-hmm,
that's how it goes.
Yeah.
So she's decided to give it whatever personal bit of happiness and make her personal and her professional life her happiness.
Yeah.
And so many women in our business sometimes feel like we have to choose. And unfortunately, she's a case in which she did.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it's a case of where, like, the Lakers, like, that's the love of her life.
Yeah, which is sad.
Yeah, it really
because
is.
Because for women, that's not natural. For
right
men, that's natural.
But for women,
like,
it's
ask
not.
Michael Jordan's first wife and his second wife. His second wife, one night we met her, we were at the... you hear the name drop story. We're at his Jordan's birthday party that he has every year at All Star.
Okay.
And his wife was there.
Just casual.
Yeah. Girl, no, it was crazy because...
Just casual to go into Jordan's birthday.
Yeah, I don't know him. We eased our butts into the party like, hey, we're not on the list. Can we get in? And
right
it was me and Jamel, and they let us in. And then so we're sitting and we're walking around. Girl, Jordan walked up to me and was like, what you doing here? And
stop.
I was like, me? You talking to me.
Carrie? Right. That's crazy.
I was like, I'm just...
The ceiling is the roof.
Right. And I was like, I'm just... Yeah. And then so he's like talking to me and his wife is standing there. So I'm so nervous. I grabbed Jamel. I'm like, hey, Jamel, look who's here. Jordan. Like, I'm like, talk to him. I don't want to talk to him no more.
Yeah.
Hi. I'm done. He's talking to her. And I was like, did he think I was an old flame or
oh,
something?
Sure.
I'm all like...
No, he didn't.
I'm all like... He was like, I love what y'all do. I was like, oh, okay, good.
I
was
I
like,
love
I,
it.
I was like, did he think we hollered back in the day? Like, I'm like, I've never met you, sir.
But wait, I do have a question going off that. Do you still, like, with Jordan... Like, are those things normal to you yet?
No.
Will they ever be normal,
never,
you think?
No.
Okay.
Whenever I talk to anybody like that, even Barkley, who I'm friendly with.
Yeah.
And he's very much a man of the people. He's friendly with everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it's not one person. I literally could be go down the street to Thrifty and be like, hey, you know, Barkley, yeah, he came in here. Here's his number. Like, Barkley's that kind of dude.
Really?
He's
I love
friendly
that.
No, that's not normal. But anyway, he talked to us for like 30 minutes, and his wife sat there quietly and said nothing because she knew that the world wanted his attention.
Right.
And I was like, see, that's what I don't have. I don't have that, okay, give it all up and just mind my business.
Yeah, like it's not in you.
I don't have that.
Yeah.
And I kind of admire that because it takes a strong, it's a disciplined woman who could mm-hmm. be married to Michael Jordan knowing that the entire world wants his attention at any given moment. Yeah. And because of the kind of man he is now, he'll stop and talk to anybody because he knows he has to do that. That's his civic duty, if mm-hmm. you will, to give back. So anyway, I just think that we just have such a tough role because we see all the things that like people, successful people accomplish, but they often sacrifice a lot. Women in particular, and sometimes it's marriage, sometimes it's children, sometimes it's, now you can have it all, but you got to have balance.
Yeah.
Like you get married, you have kids, then you got to be like, this is how much time I'm giving to work today and the rest is for my family. And but be okay
I,
with
but
that.
I think you're always going to feel like someone's getting the short end of the stick. Whether it's your kids, whether it's you, mm-hmm. or whether it's your husband. And I think that is the thing that when people talk about, you know, men being so powerful and having to deal with all these things, women have to deal with so much more because they have to deal with it all the time.
For sure. But like, yo, for sure. How many times somebody on Twitter like, that's why you ain't got no man.
It's like,
or that's
right.
why, or that's why you just gonna be single for the rest of life.
I'm yeah.
like, this just in, I'm not single. So stall me out.
Appreciate yeah, girl. Like, this just say in, it again. This
I ain't single.
Breaking news.
Yeah. So stop.
Carrie sees somebody.
Yeah. So don't be running around here like you single yeah. and you this. You don't know. I purposely keep my personal life out
for sure.
of everything because it's no one's business.
Yeah. And you also don't want it to define you. You know,
I don't want it to define me, and yeah. I don't want it to be everything that I am. I am working on mm-hmm. sharing more.
For sure.
But some stuff I just
You know people want to know about your kid.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know
but
about Carrie.
I purposely don't say anything, not to be mysterious, because I just grew up in a household where, you remember Black Mama, don't go outside telling our business.
Right.
That literally sure. was my mom until I was in high school. Mm-hmm. You ain't telling nobody our business, right? Or yeah. if my mother gets some tax refund and we buy nice stuff, she's like, don't be telling them where we got this money from. That ain't nobody's business.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I talked about that today. Come outside looking real tax refundy. You look real tax refundy.
I'm about to hit. I'm waiting for it. I'm
real tax refundy.
So, no, I'm going to Karen Millen.
Right? You're like... So all of a sudden, she has 20 new dresses, and she's like, "I'm checking the account every 5 seconds, waiting for it to come down." Anyway, so
no, I really am.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously, listen. Carrie came to New York once. We both love Karen Miller.
Well, yeah,
we
that's
had
our store.
To go there.
That's our store.
Shout out Kendall for getting me a dress.
Hi, Kendall. That's our store.
You know he's listening.
That's our store. That's my
it
dog because he's crazy.
He is.
He's crazy. I love him so much. I don't even know
he
him.
He really
I love
is.
Him.
He loves
so,
you.
He seems
you.
Hella cool.
Yeah.
So, you my boo, Kendall. She tripping, call me.
He's the best. No, seriously. Carrie will get me a check because you know he's mad at me all the time.
Right. Right. He's like, what you do now?
Exactly.
And right. I think it's funny how women, me specifically, like if I'm mad about something, you know, it's something about us. We're just mm-hmm. built differently than them.
Yeah.
Know? So I really think it's funny how my yes. homeboy was telling me that today.
Or I say goodnight at like 2 p.m.
Yeah.
When I'm awake.
I'm gonna, going to bed.
Yeah.
It's
2 hours later.
Yeah.
I just need you to know this is how I felt. Oh my God. I am the queen of that. And don't take a long time to text me back.
Yeah. Oh, also now you busy.
Exactly, because I know you just said
it. I know you saw this. You told me you was doing it.
I know it's probably like so hard to like be with me. Like,
well, any women in general, we just be on one sometimes.
Exactly,
just to be on one.
Exactly.
Fellas, just to be. Okay.
Sometimes I need to know your reaction. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is your reaction going to be to me doing this?
And then sometimes I just. Don't feel like it, okay? And now, take that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And take that. Are you coachable? Why are you asking? We coachable? Are you coachable?
But that's the thing. You know, we talk about, you know, what the women have to deal with mm-hmm. in these situations, the relationship and job and all that
sure.
stuff. But sometimes, do you ever think, okay, what is it like for a man to deal with a woman who is so career oriented?
I think it's difficult.
Yeah.
I think that they have to, like, I think any guy who is with a woman in the limelight or in who is career focused mm-hmm. has to be a very secure man.
Yeah,
he can't
for sure.
be jealous. And anyway, jealous of your career, jealous of the attention you get, jealous of what you love, and jealous of what drives you. You can't be with anybody like that. They have to support you wholeheartedly and understand. That's her compartment. She's going overdrive. So I support her and she's, but at the same time, and I've come to learn that you've got to hold somebody down too. Like
100%. It has to be 100,
because,
100.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's hard to be with anybody like who is so driven, who has, this, I call it a disorder, right? Because there's something about driven people who are never satisfied. I'm not necessarily mm-hmm. referring to myself, but there's always more. What's next? And how?
Yeah, it's hard to just be where you are. Yeah.
Which to me is crazy. Yeah. So I think that's my biggest
lesson. I think I struggle with that.
Yeah.
I really do.
You and the rest of the world. Yeah. So like, I think that's my biggest lesson in things that I'm trying to figure out. Just be content right now. Chill and enjoy the moment. Enjoy the access. Enjoy the progress. Look how far you've come. Like, mm-hmm. these are all just valuable lessons that I don't think we have as women. And the worst thing you could do is compare yourself. Like, that
for
is the
sure.
first thing. You start looking around to see who did this and who did that and who's doing what. And I hate to be like, I feel that sometimes mm-hmm. with other women who are in the business. And I'm like, don't look at my path. My path is so different
right.
than your path, and your path is going to be so different than my path. Mm-hmm. Where you are, your career is far. You were leaps and bounds ahead of me than where I was at your age in my career. Like, I don't know. I might have been maybe waiting in a bar. I'm exaggerating, but like, I didn't.
Yeah, I'm a baby. I'm 24.
Yeah, but even then, though, like at 24, I was like a one man band. I was carrying mm-hmm. my tripod. I wasn't anchoring anything. I didn't have any access. I was like carrying a tripod,
yeah.
running around the city, figuring out who's going to talk to me, begging for interviews.
Right.
You know, and so.
But now look at the glow up.
No, but I'm just saying though, your path is yeah. going to be different. So, mm-hmm. you know, you could be on a path going faster because that's just because I had to carry the tripod, right? So it's about the trajectory, mm-hmm. but don't compare yourself because everybody has to do something different. And quite frankly, like, who knows what's going to happen? It's so interesting. Like, yeah. we're so driven. You may want to do something 10 years different from now. Like,
yeah.
At 34, you might be like, okay, I'm married, I have kids. Now I want to go into news. You know? Or yeah. something like that. You never know.
No news, but I get it.
You
yes.
know what I mean?
Yes.
Or entertainment. I'm just making up anything.
Right, for right. sure. For sure. And I understand that, but I think that's also the beauty of what we do is right now everybody says, what do you like best? Do you like being in the studio? Do you like reporting? Do you like doing sideline? I know sideline's not the answer, but I like that right now I don't know yet.
And I like that you get to do all of it.
Exactly. I like that I'm trying to figure out what is the thing that I think makes me feel the best about my job, makes me feel like I'm doing something that matters, like, that I think is important.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with not knowing the answer at this moment.
Yeah, and you have to do it all. Like, people want to just do one thing. You have to do it all to be great. Like, to me, it's like the perfect recipe. I did everything. I was a one-man band. I edited my own stuff. Like, you're editing your own stuff.
Shout out Audacity.
I shot my own stuff. I worked in small markets. I worked in big markets. And so so here it comes full circle. When I'm sitting at the anchor desk, there are certain situations that I may be able to handle better than someone who just rose right to the top and didn't have that skill set.
Right.
And so when those situations come along, you see them, you're like, oh, okay, you didn't learn that. And you just, it sets you apart. Like I said, just patience. Mm-hmm. And trust me, while you can't figure it out, it's figuring you out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Anything you would change?
No.
No. Everything go the exact same way?
No, yeah. I would, I probably, what would I have done differently? I don't think that I just don't think I would have done anything differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it all happened the way it's supposed to happen. Like, I just feel like God doesn't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he does. So, I mean, of course there are things that I wish I could have changed. Like, I wish I could have been nicer to old boy back in the day, which is one of my old news directors. I wish I could have handled my personal relationships with my coworkers differently. Those things. I wish I was more mature in certain situations while at work. But in terms of the way it went, it was just the way it was supposed to go. I wish I learned balance more.
Okay.
Earlier. That's it. There you go.
Do you think that you have a good grasp on it now?
Heck no.
Really?
Heck no. Girl, please. I've been going since 4:15 in the morning. Here I am 12
this,
hours later.
She never stops working, let me tell you. To squeeze this in was like...
Yeah, heck
no. It was a struggle.
I'm all like, dang. I can't ever stop. Well, you never know. One day. One day.
One day, maybe. Someone interviewed me like a week ago, and one of the things that they asked me was, when I'm older, what would my older me tell me
right,
now?
Right, right, right.
And I said, honestly, I hope that when I'm older, I can say to myself, I hope like you didn't change for anyone. Like, I hope you didn't compromise.
Mm.
Like, it's not a thing that I think a piece of advice I would give. It's that I hope that older me isn't that much different than me now.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's sometimes hard for people in our position because mm-hmm. it's easy to think you have to change as you grow in this business and as you get more popular. Do you feel that way?
Wow, that's dope. Never.
No?
I felt like I had to change. I felt like I had to conform when I first got to ESPN. I felt like I had to be someone different to make everyone comfortable with me because I'm just a lot, you know what yeah. I mean? Like physically, mentally, spiritually, you know, the package is a
physically.
A lot. You know what I mean? Like I walk in a room, I'm 6 foot tall.
Yeah, it's bam.
My skirts are short. Like all that. That's a lot. That's not traditional sports. In fact, that's distracting. Everything about it is distracting. But it's who I am, and I'm comfortable.
Right.
So I think I conform to not try to be so distracting, so that I could be heard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a tough lesson to learn, especially for women.
It is. But do you ever feel like it's sometimes frustrating that people think you can't have like femininity and be attractive? Well, and also be smart.
Well, that's
and
the nature of our business. That's
you know?
Just the nature of our business.
But the two can coexist.
That's why it's TV and not radio.
That's very true.
It will always be that case for us. The two can coexist, but it's going to take a long time. And because people like to put people in boxes. So if you're on TV and you're a woman and you're not attractive, you're smart.
They do that.
Like, so if we can put you in a box, it makes sense. All these worlds coming together, well, that doesn't make sense. Something's wrong. She's a jerk and she don't have no kids and men hate her. Like, that kills me. People love it. Carrie, never get married. How do you know I ain't married?
Right.
How do you know anything?
You don't know anything.
You know nothing about me. Right. Like,
but kids, love to tell you about you.
Yeah, I was like, nice to meet you. First name Carrie, last name Champion. But don't put me in a
What's
box.
What's your middle name?
Girl, I can't say that. You might Google me. And come here and stalk me. You better not be giving out your middle name on your look.
Oh, I think I have plenty of times.
No.
And don't do that. Don't give the government.
And don't be giving out your government information casually because people are hacking. It's like
that is very true.
Girl, I'm speaking from hacking experience and stalker experience. Girl, don't be giving out that stuff.
Oh, gosh. See, that's
scary.
See,
this is my one nugget for you.
Yeah, okay. Don't give out your middle name anymore, Taylor. Taylor Rooks. That's straight. That's it.
Don't give out your government information. I'll tell you off the podcast.
Okay, good. So, okay, I'll get the exclusive info.
And she's not going to tell you.
I won't tell anyone. I won't tell anyone. But seriously, I mean, you're totally right. Like, people feel like you're one or the other. You cannot be both.
Yep.
And I think the one thing, if there's one thing that bothers me so much, is people online, I feel like, try to pit female journalists against each other.
Oh, yeah, but but those guys are in their basement. And they're and they're waiting for their popcorn. And guys, gals, whomever. Like, those people are... Like, that's another thing. I tell you what the problem is with this next generation of journalists. We're too consumed with social media.
That is true. And I admittedly feel like I'm that way sometimes.
Like, when people are in social media battles on Twitter, they're like, oh my God, everyone knows we're fighting. And we're just like, no. Everyone doesn't know. Go down the street and ask Joe. Joe don't know
what you're doing.
The people within our...
Joe don't follow you.
And by the way, though, the people within our industry may know. And if they happen to meet you and be interested in you and they Google you, they may know. But the people who matter don't really care about that because it happens. Like, when I see my colleagues getting into it or having their issues on social media because of something they said or... You know, and it happens to... Everyone gets a spin cycle.
Right.
It happens to everybody. Everybody gets their moment in the spin cycle. I don't think anything twice about it. I'm like, how long will this news cycle last? 24 hours, 48 hours? Okay, so be it. But because we're so egotistical, we think everyone is watching us and everyone is paying attention.
That's true. Everything's bigger than it actually is.
And every objects appear closer than they may seem. Like, really? Everybody don't care about that. No one even remembers that incident but you 5 years ago, and you keep bringing it up. Get over it.
Yeah.
When I got fired in Atlanta, I thought that would follow me for the rest of my career. I got fired in 2008.
And I didn't even know you got fired till you told me one day.
I got fired and rehired within a matter of months. But nobody knows about the rehiring. Mm-hmm. You know all about the firing.
Right. Naturally.
So I remember thinking that's going to follow me for the rest of my career. And at the time, it did. Like, I couldn't get a job. No one wanted to be bothered. They were like, angry black girl, da-da-da-da, her reputation.
Yeah.
But then even when I got a job at ESPN, they brought that up. And I was like, are you kidding me? I said, all this scandal that is happening here, you worry about me getting
rehired.
And maybe I did or didn't say something bad. I thought it was just really tacky, but they weren't. Like, it was just people being haters. Like, God is good because the main people who were coming for me ended up having a whole bunch of drama happen to them like 6 months later. And I was like, he didn't like you're ugly.
Exactly.
Like, I had no forgiveness at all. At all. Like, oh my God, I can't believe she did that. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I could write it. Like,
oh no, I'm sure.
It was such poetic justice. It's always bigger than what we think.
Yeah.
And so nowadays, if we don't learn to forgive or give people second chances, much like athletes, I'm a big believer. People think I'm anti-athletes who beat women. I'm like, there is a period. There's a grace period. You do deserve an opportunity to try again, Joe Mixon.
Depending on how you like almost bounce back from. Like, for example, what Ray Rice did is awful. But I feel like he is trying so hard.
Oh, he was begging.
Yeah, he's trying so hard to redeem himself. Like, did you see he went to Ohio State and spoke and was like...
It's never enough.
Yeah.
It'll never be enough because people can always click on that video.
Yeah.
So it'll never be enough. But I do believe he did deserve a second chance. I was one that said that. It's all about how you redeem yourself and your actions afterwards. If you're doing a bunch of stupid shit and then you go back and you don't make sure we bleep that, you're doing stupid. But if you're doing a bunch of dumb stuff and then you don't try to rectify it when you get this second opportunity with another team or with another organization, then why should I have any empathy for you? Why shouldn't I hold you to a different standard than I hold the other players to a different standard? Come on. Fool me once, you know, shame on you. Fool me twice.
Yeah, shame on me.
So I think that we do have to hold these people accountable. I do consider age, though. Like, I don't want anybody.
Do you?
I don't want anybody following me around when I was in college.
Yeah, that's me neither. That's now, so true.
Today's athlete doesn't have to deal with the other athletes would have to deal with in college. Today's athlete has to be much more savvy.
Yeah. Right?
The college athlete
you cannot
today,
do anything. There is a video everywhere.
They don't learn. And by the way, we can show you better than we can tell you. They will have to learn. Their parents will have to learn. They're going to have to become educated quickly in social media.
I mean, you really cannot mess up once.
You can't.
You can't.
Unless you don't want that to follow you or your draft stock. That could cost you. That just cost you $5 million.
Exactly. Exactly.
Laramie Tunsil.
Oh my god, that draft night.
I was like, oh,
it was never ending for him.
And by the way,
day.
Though, he wasn't a has he been a problem since?
No.
Yep.
Because that's the thing, though. I think people are quick to judge people for things, but I remember I had a teacher once that said, they're no different than you, they just got caught.
Mm-hmm.
When people would put stigmas on, like, somebody mm-hmm. that got pregnant mm-hmm. or something, it's like, they just got caught.
They just like me.
Right, and so
nobody follow me around when I ain't supposed to be following.
Exactly,
because you're like, oh, she for real. Like, I don't want you to see my private text messages, my interaction with my friends and my family. You'd mm-hmm. be like, oh my god, oh my
I know she's like that.
Oh my goodness.
But I do think athletes have to realize that, whether you like it or not, like, it's the reality of where the world is moving.
You don't have to like it.
You
look. To whom much is given, much is required. You can pay gazillions of dollars. You become an instant millionaire overnight, and you don't think someone's going to hold you to a different standard?
Right.
Kick rocks, because
exactly.
that's what's happening.
Yeah.
You have a platform. People know who you are. You have a responsibility, whether you want to be a hero or not, whether you want to be in this public limelight or not. You don't have the option. It's no longer up for negotiation.
For
so
sure.
deal with it.
Now, you touched on you being in college, and I know there's a lot of college girls that mm-hmm. listen to this podcast. I want to know what you would tell them. They want to get into this business. What do you have to do in college right now, besides not do dumb stuff on camera, to really excel in that platform, maybe creating their own content? How do they...
I would encourage them to... I talk to girls all the time. I was in Alabama. These girls drove 2 hours to come and see me because they were like...
Wow.
In South Carolina. They were like, I'm coming to see you. I took them to lunch. We hung out. We had a good time.
They
were great.
I love that.
I said, you just have to really work hard, and you have to fake it till you make it. When you're at that age and you're just getting out of the game, presentation is everything. You may not know exactly what you're talking about, because I'm a big believer, and the only thing that prepares you for the job is the job. But presentation
I like
is everything.
That. I like that.
You know what I mean? So I feel like, make sure you look the part. Don't try to go all out and look fancy. Don't try to look like Taylor or me, you know, because you don't look the part yet.
Mm-hmm.
Be your cleanest version of yourself on air. Make sure you're well-groomed. Make sure you always have on a business jacket when you are doing your stand-ups. And you ain't got on no tank tops. And cover your tats. Like, you can cab them. I have them. But don't make it a big deal. Don't show them all off to the world while you're trying to present yourself as a credible reporter.
Because that perception is everything.
Because I need to believe that you went out and got this story and you're telling me the truth.
Right.
So I always say that. And then I always say, make sure you could do it all. Like, you know, take from your podcast to radio. I interned and interned and interned. And I was quietly persistent. Like, I would harass and harass and harass people until they allowed me to come out with them and shoot stuff. Like, do whatever way you can, but do it in a way that doesn't turn them off. But, like, today, you just need... You can do your own resume reel with your freaking phone.
100%. Yeah.
So, you just have to
fake stand-ups. Like, just get out there.
Just get out there and do it. So, I would just say, do it. Just do your own stand-ups. Make sure you intern. Listen to a lot of people. And when you apply for a job, don't have any expectations. Like, I knew I was going to a small market. Everybody kept saying, you're going to work in a small market. Mm-hmm. Be okay with that.
Yeah.
Be okay working in a place that maybe not paying you well, or maybe they don't know how to do TV. Be okay with that. And I wanted that because I wanted to make the mistakes there.
It seems to me there is this, like, influx of people that want to be journalists now. Do you feel that way?
No.
I think a lot of people, especially a lot of women, want to get into sports and being a sports journalist, which I think is dope. But I just think sometimes it's like, okay, why do you want to do it?
Okay, you know what? I think you're right. I do think there is an influx. I think we notice more of it.
Probably. And probably because of social media.
But unless they really want to be sports reporters, honestly, unless they really truly want to know and they want to be journalists, then they can't do it. Like, if they don't want to be journalists, then I don't think you should be it. But I like the idea of them wanting to do it. But trust me, it is not about cute dresses and makeup. It's hard work.
Yeah.
And this business is built for
everybody. It carries up at 4 a.m. every day.
It's built for everybody.
All right. You know, I told you that.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask Twitter questions. My phone is blowing up with people that have questions for you.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Someone said, "Do she got a man?" But she already answered that.
As if. What's his handle? I'm gonna call
him. You gonna call him? We're gonna shout you out right now. His at is. I can't even say your at. Why you're?
You can't say his at. It's inappropriate.
I will say his name on Twitter though is Young Washcloth. Nope. Can't say his at though.
Young that because his handle is crazy.
Yeah, his handle is like stupid.
Do he have benefits?
This guy is. What is your credit score?
What's your credit score?
This guy said, "Is she gonna make my guy Kaz an honest man?" He said he wanted to be married by 30. Ah! I'm assuming. Do you know Kaz?
Of course I know.
Okay.
Kaz is a sweetheart. He is a dear friend.
Oh, this is an actual person. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And listen, if Kaz doesn't have any options out there, I might consider it.
Okay, Shout out Kaz.
Shout out Kaz.
Okay. Describe life living in Bristol.
Oh God, it was awful.
Was it really?
For me, because people have to be okay living in Bristol. And I came straight from LA and I wasn't okay with it for a couple of reasons.
It's a big difference. Yeah.
Weather. Two, culturally, it's different. Three, it's okay if you have a family. Like, if you're married with kids or your man lives there with you, or if you're a dude and you're single and your girl moves there with you, you can make a go of it. But when you're by yourself, which I was, it was really hard because if I wasn't hanging out with Jamel, and I don't want to be with Jamel 24 hours a day, dang, she wanted to get away from me too.
Right.
You want to be around people where you're not consistently talking about work. So it was a different experience. It was tough for me. I was adjusting to it, and I knew I had to sacrifice some things, which I did. Mm-hmm. But it was tough for me. I don't know how anybody else feels about it.
What's it like hanging out with Jamel? She seems so fun.
She's the most sweet, down-to-earth person. I think whenever she meets anybody, they immediately think they're her best friends. They're
like, that.
Jamel's my best friend. But Jamel, I can tell you, if you're really her best friend, if she hasn't showed you her most ratchet side, you guys aren't best friends.
Yeah, my best friend.
You're right. Hello.
She can get super ratchet.
Girl. I'll be like, "You're on camera, Jamel. People see you." She's like, "I don't care.
I want them to see
you." Yeah, exactly.
All right, Roland Martin, which I love this question because I
already know.
It's hilarious. Ask her, does she own stock in the company that makes Vaseline? Because listen, Carrie's legs are the shiniest
Barbie doll shine.
Like the shiniest thing you will ever see in your life. Do you own stock in Vaseline?
I should text Roland right now.
You really should.
And be like, really, yes, should. I do. I don't, but I'm trying to get an endorsement deal. So if anybody with Johnson & Johnson.
No, is it Vaseline or cocoa butter?
It's a special oil that I cannot share with you guys because.
She's keeping it a secret.
It's a mixture of Vaseline and cocoa butter and oils and such. Right. I can't just be out here.
It looks like it's working though.
It.
Truly.
Wait, no.
You were on that screen. There's a glare. A glare coming off your legs.
My people who are mutual friends of ours, I'm not going to mention their names until after the podcast, was like, if you put some more damn oil.
I know. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
He told me.
I was like, excuse you. I was like, I like this oil on my legs.
I'm like, but they look so good.
Excuse you. I love this oil on my legs. You go to hell. Okay?
No, keep putting it on. Keep putting it on. This person said my two bays. Carrie's my bae too, so it's okay. I'll take it.
I want to tell you, Taylor's my bae.
Oh, stop.
We've been dating.
For quite some time.
When I said I'm seeing someone, the chick is up.
It's me.
My middle name is Kendall.
That's your code name. Literally, all these people are like, can I get her digits? Will she go out with me?
See, that's how you know that. That's why you know the age of Twitter and who follows you.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, like I need some real questions.
No, actually, this is a question. I tweeted about LeVar Ball, who I have been an advocate for this whole time. I'm like, talk about your sons. They're great. Say it. Until he said everyone else's son was whack. And I tweeted about that. Someone was like, Carrie Champion disagrees. So tell me your thoughts on LeVar Ball.
I disagree with what?
I don't know what you disagreed with. Like, I was talking about how he did not have to put down, like, Shaq's son and Michael Jordan's son and all those people to put his players up.
I agree with that.
Okay, you agree with that. They probably thought I was saying I didn't like LeVar.
No, yeah. That's what they probably thought. Yeah. They, what I tweeted the other day after having him on my show, I'd be honest with you, I thought he's a bit much. But everything he's saying, I like. Because how often do we see black fathers in their children's lives promoting them like we do?
That's true. He goes hard for them.
So if he was a white guy, I wonder if we would have thought differently. Would have been accepted. If he would have said everything he's saying, if he was white, we would be like, this man's crazy. And dismiss it. Or we would be like how we are with LeVar Ball. I cannot believe he's saying this. He's ruining his kids, blah, 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 blah.
That's true.
I just feel like his delivery has turned everyone off. Not maybe not so much of what he's saying, but maybe the delivery. The brashness of it.
Yeah.
I want us to think that we can get a $1 billion deal.
Right. Like, why would you say that you couldn't? Why would you? Yeah, like the point is to make your kid feel like they're the greatest.
And by the way, whenever he talks about his kids, what people don't realize is that there's a softness that comes across his eyes. Like he just starts to melt. However, he goes back to Tough Daddy real quick. He's just like that uncle in the basement that's outside still talking trash.
But he's in a camera talking.
Yeah, and by the way, if you met his kids, the reason why I know that it doesn't affect them is because I believe everything he's doing, there's a method to his madness. I think he's genius. I think that he is saying this because whether he believes his kids will get $1 billion or not, he wants whatever company that comes for the Ball kids to not come on no BS.
Oh yeah.
To come
he's smart.
He is Richard Williams. Richard Williams did that with Venus and Serena. He was like, I'm gonna have two girls that play tennis that will be the best at it. Mm-hmm. Watch me.
Right.
And I'm sorry, they were correct. Earl Woods knew Tiger would be the best. And he was a prodigy starting at three. And look what he was. He was the best. There's nothing wrong with promoting your kids and saying and believing in your kids and speaking it into existence. I believe all of that. Everything I've ever had in my life, I've already declared it before I had it.
Right.
And obviously, I'm not speaking into existence like the universe. I'm saying, Jesus, this is what I want. If it's in your will, let me have it.
Right.
And I visualize it and I see me doing it. And if it's in his according to his will and what he wants for my life, then I get it.
Right.
And I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
I feel just empowered listening to this.
Yeah, do you?
Preach. And I hope everybody else says, you preach.
Yeah, I'm preaching. And yes, I own Vaseline, Bowen.
That was the best question.
Yeah, he's so stank.
He really is.
Okay, so tell me, what's next for you? Tell me about all these, your experience in LA. I'm going to interview her really quickly. How's your experience in LA been?
It's been fun. So different from New York, but it's been good. You know, I had Snoop on the podcast.
You had who? Oh, Snoop.
Snoop Dogg.
I thought you said Scoop.
Oh, no. Snoop gave me the scoop.
Uh-huh.
We talked about LeVar Ball, actually. He's a big fan. Loves everything that LeVar is talking about. I'm going to have Schoolboy Q on in a bit.
Okay.
I'm going to have Nick Young on. Geno Smith's coming on. You're coming on.
That's great.
Yes. And so it's been fun.
Are you going to unveil these day in every single day?
I think... Well, we try to do them like once a week.
Uh-huh. Oh, gosh. So you got some for like weeks to come.
Exactly.
That's dope.
And it's like, it was too hard to get everyone in New York. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to come to LA.
I love it.
Make the trip. Got out before the snow.
I love it.
Somehow.
And then when you
stayed
leave.
5 hours in the San Francisco airport, by
because,
the way.
You know why? You know what that's called? Determination and hunger.
Slept in a booth.
You know what that's called? I'm hungry.
I gotta get here. Yeah.
And I'm about this life.
And
nobody's gonna stop me until I get to where I wanna be. That's that hunger.
Yes.
That like that's what that's called. That's not called 5 hours in the booth. That's that's just like
that's the process.
That's all the process.
That's the journey. It's about it.
Keeps you humble.
It does.
So when you go back?
I go back Saturday morning, early. So it's kind of a quick trip when I think about it.
Whoa, okay. So if you have time tomorrow, we should meet for an adult beverage.
We should. Adult beverage, no mics, no podcast.
You're jealous.
Definitely. And thank you so much for coming on.
I love you.
You know how much I love you. We're hugging.
I love you.
You can't see. I told you this is my girlfriend.
I love you, sister.
Yeah, really.
Call me Kendall.
You're the best. I love you. Thank you so much for coming on, Carrie. Yes.
Huge thank you to Miss Carrie, no middle name champion. She's one of those people that really can make anyone feel motivated. So fingers crossed that you feel you can just go out and take on the whole world after hearing her speak. She's still climbing to the heights of her career, and I still consider myself a rookie in this business, but this conversation truly showed me that we fight the same battles, we experience the same triumphs, and we have such a true love for the job and for each other. Make sure to subscribe to Time Out with Taylor Rooks by searching for the show on iTunes and SoundCloud. I'm so excited about the guests I have lined up, so stay tuned, and I'll talk to you later.